I am Royce Beverly, Youth Coordinator at the Ghana Responsible Parenthood Association. This evening, I have three panelists here with me, and we will be discussing minimizing the instance of teen pregnancy and sexuality education. GRP has embarked on a project with the United Nations Population Fund, and we are in three communities, naming Parfit Harmony, Angoy's Avenue, and we are in Georgetown. And through those activities, we are doing outreach activities, we are doing counseling, we are doing sexuality education programs in and out of school, and we are also looking to embark on a teen clinic. And that teen clinic, we wanted to start from New Year, but we're doing preparations work at the moment. But I'll now introduce my panelists this evening, and I'll have them introduce themselves.
Okay, good evening. My name is Dennis Glasgow.
Good evening. My name is Chelsea France.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Vidyard Kisoon.
Yes, so we'll go right ahead into the discourse. I'd like to know what you guys think about teen pregnancy and how it affects the society, and it affects you as an individual. So any one of you could go right ahead.
Well, I think the effects that teenage pregnancy has in society, it has a domino effect. It does not just affect young people, but when a young girl becomes pregnant, it has a major impact on society also, and such issues that it will also target school dropouts, because mostly these girls that become pregnant are school dropouts, or they're not educated. So that is another social issue that it would attack. So when you talk of teenage pregnancy, immediately it's not just teenage pregnancy, it's a social default. It's more than one social issues.
Right ahead, Chelsea.
Yes. Recently, I would have heard that Guyana is ranked second in the Caribbean the highest rate of teenage pregnancy. And so this would be a major setback for Guyana. And as Dennis would have mentioned, it doesn't just lead to the teenagers of themselves, but the society at large is affected. And so we have to try our best. Change starts with us. So we have to try our best to eliminate that, and so to have our young people focused more on their academics.
Yes, Vidya.
Teenage pregnancy is certainly nothing new in our history. I mean, we have a brutal history of slavery and indentureship, where women have always been told, women and girls were told that they had to make babies so that they, you know, those babies could go and work as workers, and we have this culture like that. So we have to overcome this history of where women were just viewed as people who could make children rather than as individuals. And I think in learning about what happens, we've learned enough, we have enough experience that education is necessary, and that early pregnancy defrays education. Though of course, we've seen how society can put in place programs so that many of persons who have become young mothers, they've been able to continue with their education after they've been able to deal with their, you know, their motherhood responsibilities. The thing that concerns me is that we often talk about the women alone and the girls alone. We don't talk about the men who make them pregnant. Mm-hmm. And as a man, I'm concerned that we continue to stigmatize and blame, and all of the, you know, we blame the girls and we make them into problems. Mm-hmm. But we don't talk about the boys and men who are the fact. I say boys and men because I think many times, as we've learned, I think the report that was launched recently, it said that you know, we know the stories. Girls are raped, they're coerced into situations, they're forced into situations where they don't really have a choice mm-hmm. to decide when they're going to get pregnant or not. So, it's, you know, what happens with the men and the boys who are the fathers, and how do we get them to take some responsibility mm-hmm. for ensuring that those children, that the children that they make, that, you know, are cared for, and that sensible decisions are made in terms of not making children, you know, we're waiting. I don't like it. I don't like when people say that this child was a mistake. I think that we got to be a little careful how we talk about that. You know, that the first one was a mistake. And therefore, people think about that. And I think those two children who become human themselves will, in turn, you know, they have to deal with that. And I think we got to work around all of those issues.
Yeah. I'm hearing so many things that you guys are saying, but what I wanna really touch on is how can we actually work in terms of minimizing or making persons more aware that teen pregnancy is on the rise, and how can we work as one body in terms of minimizing teen pregnancy. And I can see off the bat that GRP has been working on this particular issue as of late. And as I mentioned earlier, we are in Angoy's Avenue, we are in Perfect Harmony, and we are in Georgetown. And we are working in and out of schools, doing sessions with young people and older adults. And we are trying to share knowledge with them so that they would better able to, you know, deal with their children as well as teenagers deal with issues that they're faced with on an everyday level. But how can we actually work more in co or as a as partners in order to deal with this issue?
Well, first of all, I believe as young teenagers ourselves here, we have, and the adults, we have to go down to their level. We have to meet them halfway. If we meet them all up here, what they hear will come through here and pass through the other side. So when we go out into the community, don't just stand in front of, let it be a talk and chop type of thing. Mm-hmm. All right, we have to be able to go down to the teenagers level so that they will understand how on the rise teenage pregnancy has become and what we are trying to do to eliminate it. All right, so I believe by going down to their level, we will better be able to do that.
I echo the sentiments of Chelsea, and just to add, I think that what is already being done by GRPA and these other groups, even the Ministry of Education, I can say that teenage pregnancy is a part of the social studies syllabus at secondary school. So young people, teenagers, have this information being fed to them at school. It's up to them whether they want to take it in. But as Chelsea said, the talk and chalk method is not working because you hear that from a teacher's perspective. Now, I believe that teachers who use the talk and chalk method, their teaching would not be effective, or any person in general at school going towards a young person. You need, as Chelsea said, bring it down to their level. Include some form of entertainment in this way of putting forward this message. I remember a few weeks ago, Desiree Edgell said something when they had their show, that when you use entertainment and comedy to carry over a message, people would remember that message and not just remember that I laughed at this. So when you use methods such as that to get young people will be aware of the rise in teenage pregnancy, and I'm sure just how they look at television and they can adapt to these things and want to act or behave a certain way, they'll remember that skit that GRPA put on or some group put on, and they would try to change also because it would be there. It wasn't true talk and chalk, it was true entertainment. So that's something that will work, and that's my personal view.
The experience certainly is about talking with and not talking to, and understanding that sometimes that you have to learn from the experiences of people. And I mean, we must, you know, thank Women Across Differences who have been doing wonderful work with young mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we learn from the experiences of what gets people into situations, because even as Dennis said, people have information. It's one thing, you know, we all go to school, we have the curriculum. I mean, I know, for example, one of the things we don't think about is that a case of pregnancy is also a case where HIV could have been transmitted.
Yep.
Right? And even if you might have programs, successful PMTC programs, and people are beginning to think, oh, this AIDS can just be like diabetes. Mm-hmm. I think we got to be very careful with that. You know, all kinds of things people telling me, oh, you know, Even though young people know the thing with the condoms, but then there's all the other messages that are coming, which are competing. We live in a very highly sexualized culture. Mm-hmm. Many bus drivers, I travel to 2:30 in the afternoon, and I see when the bus drivers turn up the music when they pass in school children. I don't know if Dennis and Chelsea speak to that. I mean, and I'm curious, because again, one of the things that I know from my own from my memories of someone who's young, because as I listen to them, mm-hmm. is that you can't lump all young people as one population. Mm-hmm. There are different needs, and sometimes there's some people who are articulate. There are people who they know what they're about. Some young people who know what they're about and will not do certain things. But sometimes there are people who are quiet. They're living with abuse at homes. Mm-hmm. They're under pressure from home to go and get money. Right? So whatever the issues are, is that you really have to have two ways. You might have the group kind of interaction. You have to have one-on-ones to make sure that you have to have a way of ensuring that everybody has got the message. It's not, you can't just throw it out there and hope that it is caught. There's got to be a feedback. So that, and not that, so, as I say, you know, when the young people get together, it's usually the ones who are the most, you know, the jokey ones and so on, who would dominate the conversation. And the quiet ones and so. But then you have to really make sure that when we talk, I think what GRPA has done, talked about the age-appropriate sex education, we can't be scared. I think one thing, again, is that I think we've had sex education different ways, mm-hmm. but it's understanding. I think sometimes what happens is it becomes a subject, we just write everything down, and we do assignments, and we can regurgitate it, but we don't really internalize. I mean, because litter, and how do we know we're supposed to litter?
Yep.
All right, so this is not to digress. Right, we learned in school, and we can write down. Right? Mm-hmm. Right, so...
Bhavidya, I have a question for you. How did you actually deal with peer pressure in your days of school?
We didn't. We succumbed to it all the time. Peer pressure is easy. Or you lied.
You see?
Yeah. You had to do, what your peers were doing, or you lied. I mean, you know, it's funny, because I went to Bishop's. My year, one girl got pregnant, and there was another girl who the rumors were wild. Oh my God, she had 20 abortions already.
What?
This is a girl who came into the school from another country. And you know, so we had all these little wild girls and so on. And I thought, Dennis is a bishop. So I'm sure those things don't happen in bishops. No. But it was just that this one girl got pregnant. And I remember we were thinking, like, you know, those are just something that's wrong with her. Mm-hmm. She's bad. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years afterwards, you know, we sat down and said, what happened to her? Obviously, you know, she came into high school, first form, coming in, trans thinking, coming to one of the top secondary schools. I'm going to finish my education. And I keep thinking, you know, I always have one in my head, I say, you know, I'd love to know, did she ever get to finish the education? Mm-hmm. You know, here we are 20, 25 mm-hmm. years later. So, and there's so many other girls, I think, for which, you know, this whole thing, stigma, you know, you can't come back to school, mm-hmm. or you go into these programs which don't make you finish CXC. You know, we got to undo mm-hmm. some of that. This idea is always catching. But peer pressure, no, we succumbed to it. As I said, you know, you find ways of showing off. Maybe some of us were protected in different ways. But, we all had... I don't think it was so difficult. Maybe now I'm looking at... No, because even though adults succumb to peer pressure too, mm-hmm. right?
But
young people, it's. I think there's more pressure now. I got a sense there's a lot of pressure on now. Mm-hmm.
But
to be something else.
And Vidya, I echoed some of the things that you said, but I'm also happy to actually quote that through Women Across Differences, I heard they had students who wrote CXC.
Yes, and
they got good grades.
Yes, and some, they
got really good grades.
Yes. And so on. So that's the whole thing about the society. The society has to say, education, let's make sure, because I think, and I'm sorry, I mean, Clonel, if Clonel is watching, Clonel knows more, but
yes.
While they're certainly producing a series of videos, because again, there's this stigma, oh, then girl, why? And they were a man, and they went to get pregnant. And it's not that. There's stories of violence, there's stories of abuse, right? There's honest rape, it's all kinds of things.
Yes.
It's a complication about abortion, the fact that abortion services weren't available, or that people have these mixed up messages about abortion. That, first of all, you're bad if you're pregnant. And you're bad if you're bad. So either way, you're bad. I would pretty much kind of turn to a 14-year-old who might not have had a choice, you know. But instead, women with the men. It's, you know, and this is for Dennis and for the rest of you. Women with the men. I mean, men care? Do we care as men?
But I want to ask Chelsea the same question I asked you. How did she actually deal with peer pressure? And I know it's still there, but how did she actually deal with peer pressure in school as going through school from Form 1 to when you leave?
Wow. Well, just being out of school just this year, I honestly don't think I was ever led into peer pressure. I always did what pleased me. I was heavily involved in extracurricular activities, so I had no time to be pressured into let's go do something wild or anything like that. I was always into school activities and I loved it. So I don't think there was any way I was pressured in any way, probably into doing all these things, because if I remember, I never said no to any extracurricular activity. I was always willing and able to do it. But speaking in general, teenagers, indeed, young ladies, they are affected by peer pressure. I must say that our music we listen to today plays a very, very important role in the peer pressure, especially the dance hall, as you all know.
Okay.
All right. I believe a great percentage of it also would have resulted in teenage pregnancy.
Yes.
Right. So for me, yes, peer pressure is there for the young ladies, but personally, I don't think it was that much there for me.
What about you, Dennis?
Well, those who know me know that I'm a really stubborn person, and trying to convince me to do something I don't want to is quite a task. Being this very, I do get overconfident at times, and I consider myself superior, which is not a good trait, I would say. But certain people can come up to me and try to pressure me into doing certain things. I mean, the things that I would have done was on my own. Nobody can get me to do something I don't want to do. You really need to try hard or really get my parents involved, because I won't do it, trust me. And as Chelsea said, extracurricular activity is something that I'm deeply involved in. Volunteerism is something I'm deeply involved with. I have no time to go and sit on a corner with the other guys and talk about who girl this and what and these nonsense. I have better things to do with my time, so peer pressure won't affect me. And if more young people should go and use the idle time to do something to give back to society or something of that sort, then peer pressure will, a few years from now, you tell a teenager about peer pressure, they're gonna look at you, what are you talking about? Nobody can pressure me into doing anything. I have my mindset on whatever my goals might be, and that's what I'm going to go at. So peer pressure at Dennis Glasgow Jr. is a no-no.
Well said.
I went back to high school.
Well said.
And if somebody talked like if I was your school friend, tomorrow I would have set in fee.
Yeah, let them come. Sorry, you
know? I said, let me see. You know, that one of them girls. Because I had a case where a girl come rubbing me up. If she wanted to see how far I would go. You know, those are all happening in school, right? These girls were Vidya, and then so there was this conversation over how, I mean, in 25 years, 30 years ago, that's when AIDS first started coming in. So we were talking about sex and sexuality. But, you know, fortunately, no, I think there's an opportunity now to talk about these things sensibly and not just make up. You know, we got it, because again, certainly AIDS was given this opportunity to try and talk to people, but not to preach. We gotta be careful how we don't preach, because we want to make sure people are understanding that they made their choices wisely, you know?
Yeah, Vidya, you raised the topic, and I would like you to just, you know, talk around it a little bit more, and the other panelists too can add their bits to that. You talk about abortion and a teenager having an abortion, it's bad, and getting pregnant is bad. But I want you to just talk a little bit more about the issues that surround abortion as a whole, and also to even add what would cause a teenager to want to have an abortion.
Well, I think certainly in Guyana, as GRPA knows, in Guyana we know that there is a Medical Termination Pregnancy Act, which says that any female can approach a health facility. There's a list of registered practitioners. Mm-hmm. We know that in Guyana too, that there's strong cultural and views about it, and that many persons condemn abortion. I have also learned through the own work and stories again from many women who were the 10 churches where abortions preached about and so on, who themselves have had to do abortions because of a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things we have to get over in Guyana is that it's not bad women who do abortions. There are many reasons why women, teenagers, choose to do abortions. And I think as a man, I think as men, we shouldn't be, I should not be condemning, or I should not be preventing anybody. Just make sure in the case, you know, that when women want to choose to do an abortion, mm-hmm. they should have access. Unfortunately, in Guyana, the public health system still does not offer abortions. It's just through the private system. And that's what we see. And we also have a lot of maternal deaths from botched abortions going on. So maternal health, now with teenagers, I think there is a little bit of a confusion because people, I think, are scared to say it to, unless the parents carry the child to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But in the law, no parental consent is required. Any female who's pregnant, and that's a very important thing in the law. The law didn't put an age.
Let's say any.
The law says any female who is pregnant can go and ask for an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we have implications because in the Protection of Children Act, is that pregnancy could be a sign of rape.
Mm-hmm.
And a medical practitioner would want to ask a person who's under 16,
mm-hmm.
what are the reasons? And remember, we have to do counseling as well because mm-hmm. there could be some issues around all sorts of things. It's not only there should be pre and post abortion counseling. And it's about preventing further. It's not only about that pregnancy, but also making sure that the woman understands, the girl understands, in the future, how to engage in family planning if that is the situation she's in. Situations of violence, we talk about in abuse, very rampant. The third case I came across of teenage pregnancy was hearing about a girl who was pregnant for her father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know who's going to go around the place. I'm not going to tell any girl to stay pregnant for her father, regardless of my religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So these are a teenage girl, but you know, and these are things which people have to deal with. And, you know, in the society, we only try to stigmatize this as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be very careful how we do that because we might alienate the people who want to get the information because of circumstance, because they need to come, you know, they need to get help, right, to prevent things from happening again.
Do anybody else want to add it? Chelsea, you want to add anything to that before I go to my next question?
About the abortions again. I think the reason why persons are so okay, abortion is a bad thing, all right? It's based back to religion, all right? I can speak for the Christian. It's totally unacceptable. And so if a young lady goes, it might be a case of rape or as Vidya mentioned, the father molested, and so she doesn't want to have the child, and she goes to abort, and now she's stigmatized because of that. And the religious, the churches, they would look at her and say, well, oh, she did that. She's a bad person, but they're not in the situation, so they wouldn't be able to say and know exactly what went on to made her do that. Right, so it's not that we as advocates against all these things want to promote abortion, but it's to say that, okay, if a young teenage girl was pregnant and she wanted to abort it, she wants to go back to school, as a result, she should be able to do so.
Well, I personally am a critical thinker. I would look at it from both angles. So my personal view on abortion is 50-50, to be honest. I would support somebody who's going to abort for the right reason, but at the back of my head, I still have this religious background that, well, you didn't give life, so why take it? And because, for instance, a girl might abort a child. You didn't know what was God's claim upon that child's life. Let's say that could have been the next Barack Obama or the person that would find the cure for HIV. You get where I'm getting at, right? You can't. You're taking a life that the person have not yet lived, and you don't know what that person could have become in their future. But then again, as my other colleagues would have said, some situations force you towards this, and abortion should be a choice again, like, and not something that you have to do for a certain reason. Because I know some girls who might get pregnant at 15 and might want that child, but somebody is telling them to go and abort it. Like, you know, you're bringing shame upon this family. This family name must stay. You need to abort that child. Things like this do happen in society. So, closing off, I'm a 50-50 person. I look at it and try to balance it off. That's me.
I just, as a man, I tell all men, is that you have to say to make a commitment to yourself as men that your child will not be aborted. Because there have been most reasons why women go is because of lack of support from the men. The man abandoned them, the man raped them, the man do whatever. So it's men who impregnate. Mm-hmm. So if a man says, you know, I can make sure whenever if I'm in a situation where a woman will get pregnant for me, is that I'm going to make sure that I'm there. So even if she said, all right, she can get a baby and I can give you a baby. You know, so that is a conversation men should be having. Mm-hmm. And we should be holding other men accountable.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be worrying. We should make the religious thing and so on, yeah. But the reasons women do it is because many times some man in the story ain't living up
to the
expectations.
This brings me to the next question. What role a man should play in the lives of his children and in the lives of his partner? Because I'm thinking that hearing you saying that, you know, because men in owning up, a whole lot of issues coming out. Mm-hmm. What, you know, you think that men, I don't want to use say should, because I may say should, but then the person still don't do when I say should. So what a man can do to actually be involved in his family life and so on.
Right, could I just do a little thing here? I know we live and stuff. I just wanted to ask Dennis and Chelsea about, from young people's world, about some of the qualities in the men that they admire around them who have been good for them, the men who have been good to them. Just some of the qualities that you see as young people, you know, what are some of the qualities you've taken, positive qualities you've taken from men around you? Who are living up to expectations. Just, we don't get a chance to get up with young people much.
Yeah.
On this. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Being on the spot is the best thing. You answer all the questions correctly.
You know, what are some of the things you see from the men around you who have been living up to their expectations, you know, to things, to the responsibilities?
Oh, well, there are the simple things and then there are the major things. Being a big brother, a good big brother or a good father, the simple things, you open the door for the young lady or the car, you help her fetch her load, you know, these things still show that, okay, men appreciate us women in society.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, there are certain things that I look for in the men around me, not just my family members, but the male teachers or any male that I would come into contact with. I look for this ear that a man, like someone in authority, but yet still not a dictator. Somebody who would listen to a woman's view and help try to curb situation, compromise his entire line or string of thought into suiting this woman. That's something that I look up to in the men that I am around. I mean, some of them might be paternalistic, meaning they're going to listen to your view, but yet still they're going to do what they want. But then again, they're listening. So men that listen and appreciate a woman or a woman's view are the men that I totally throw my respect out for, and men that are there, because we often blame most of our social issues on the father being absent, mainly when they're in single parent families, and that leads to so many other social issues we can branch off into. But I'm just saying that a man being there for his children and his wife means a lot, not just for his family, but for society as a whole.
So, I this is important, as you say, about what happens in terms of, in this new situation, I know it is sometimes, I think it's sometimes difficult in that, I think you got to be able to gaff with your children about these issues and love and sex and counter. And it's not about getting preaching and expected no, a thing to happen. You got people getting girlfriend from primary school and boyfriend from primary school. So it's about how we deal with it and gaff about these things. That yes, you'll get a girlfriend and boyfriend. What does that mean? And then working through, you know, all the different things that are happening. And you know, I think it's easy to say it, but also if an event you're not, I think this is why the schools unfortunately are left with a lot more responsibility for some of these peers. People keep saying, oh, you gotta happen in the house. When the house has violence, house has abuse, house has all sorts of problems, you're not gonna expect sensible information and education. And I think I remember Mr. Granger talking about value-based education. It is something that we all have to recognize in Ghana, that there's a lot of demand on our education system to now take on the role that people thought families would have taken on. I think GRP is very clear as what age-appropriate, sex and... there's something called the health and family life education, which we have learned is inconsistent. In some schools, it's operating better than in other schools. So, you know, you got to make sure that all these... And as Dennis and Chelsea says, you got to be... In these issues, it's not like maths and them things, you know, you might get a little chalk and talk, but in these issues, we really got to make sure that people are not just regurgitating, cramming and regurgitating information, but that there is a feedback and to understand. So, what happened? Yeah, you're going to fall in love. Yes, you have sexual feelings. What do you do?
All my questions I have in mind, the conversation just going in the right way. And I would like to ask this one to my panelists now. What role do you see poverty playing in teen pregnancy?
That's amazing.
Yep.
Economic instability leads persons berserk. It triggers their mindset. So if I'm in poverty, I will feel that, well, I'm less of a person and I don't have as much as somebody else might have. So the time that they have watching television or playing video games or using whatever economic good they might get, and I'm there without anything, my family, my parents not being home because they have to go and work and try to get me out of poverty, that will lead me towards going and seek love or seek affection somewhere else. And when I go out there into society, society is not a place to spoons feed you or anything. It's a jungle out there. So whatever is going to be thrown at me because of my economic instability, I have to take it, because in society, once you don't have money, then basically your views do not count as far as I'm concerned. So I'm going to be forced with the wrong set of people that are going to lead me towards sex and gang violence and all of these things. But the main thing that young people get involved with, especially poor people, is teenage pregnancy and sex and contracting STDs and HIV. And that's poverty, to me, it's the major, other than parental issues or parents, poverty is the major issue that triggers teenage pregnancy. And that's how I feel. That's what I think.
Yes, Johnson. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yes, and I agree with Dennis indeed. Poverty, as it relates to sexuality with teenagers, so you're poor, that means you cannot afford to go to school, or you're deprived of an education basically because you're poor. All right, and so again, these leads to other things: the teenage pregnancy, there is gang violence, all kinds of violence. Because then, okay, I'm sitting at home and I don't know what to do. Sometimes the television get boring, all right, and then I go gang up by the corner, and okay, the boys decide, let me go rob this house or something like that. And so again, it's just like a circle going around. It brings poverty on somebody else, because you go take from them, they have nothing left. You might have that, and that mightn't last long enough. And so then it's just a cycle going wrong and wrong again. So poverty, indeed, it plays a major, major role as it relates to teenagers not being able to go to school, and teenage pregnancy in a whole. It plays a major role.
Certainly, well, I mean, there's no doubt, as both Dennis and Chelsea have said, that there's two issues. One is that the circumstances of poverty, which might force some young girls into scores and into situations where they feel that having a child is a way of trapping, or they end up in a situation where transactional sex might have gone wrong and end up pregnant, or feel that there's a way out, thinking that if I get married or I don't live with somebody, it's a way out of poverty. We had that awful story with a 15-year-old girl who was allowed by the court to marry. Because our, mm-hmm. remember, this is an interesting thing with our history, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Is that girls' bodies were just about marriage and children. Mm-hmm. So court, which will say, but hold on, didn't think that this man is raping this girl, mm-hmm. which is what the other law says, that this girl should be in school, mm-hmm. right? So, mm-hmm. The other thing too is that in our current world, which is the age of knowledge, age of information, if you do not have education, you're at a disadvantage.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And your children are disadvantaged because in this current world, it's that if parents are educated, children are more likely to become, to embrace education. Mm-hmm. And that is just a cycle that continues. And this is something anecdotally we talk about our school system. The teachers will mutter the problem with the children not being able to read. The tragedy is that many parents don't know to read because mm-hmm. they didn't finish school for whatever reasons. Mm-hmm. So the opportunities to come back now and rehab. But definitely, we know that this is a development issue. We know that we have to find ways to show that having, I know that for some people, having children is a sign of status. So that, you know, the earlier you show that you show as a sign of fertility and that something was wrong with you if you don't want children. You know, especially if in a family, there's a family tradition of young people mm-hmm. getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. Certainly my grandmother, you know, in the days, my grandparents, and so my grandmother got her first child at 15. So, you know, there was a time, as I said, where all these young marriages and so on. So you got to look back now and say, this is a current situation. Mm-hmm. Our world has changed, economics yeah. have changed, mm-hmm. and we have a lot more information about sex and our reproductive health. Mm-hmm. You know, so people have to be able to make better choices and have more information to know what to do.
It seems as though sex is coming up in our conversation very often, and I'm now going to ask a question on that. Do you guys think that young people use the act of sex the right way? Or if you think at what age, you think at what age a young person should start having sex? Just a question. It's just a question.
You're getting personal here. Somebody went, can't say, but Bryce. I mean, I don't like to preach it to young people. You got to think about mm-hmm. for me, you, Bryce, me and you, you know mm-hmm. how, right? We go back into wee days and yeah. so on, right? No, you're not that embarrassing, children. But I think it's, I mean, sorry. Well, what is the right age for anyone to have sex? I mean, I remember we were talking about age of consent. I used to joke and say, I got some people I know should never consent because they make irresponsible choices, mm-hmm. right? And they end up doing all kind of madness.
Well, because it's right. all related to teen pregnancy, and that's why I asked the question.
But the important thing, I don't think the issue is something with the age. The issue is that people should have the information. I think all the research has shown is that good sexual education and information helps persons to delay mm-hmm. their first. It's also demystifying. A lot of guys, and this is a conversation, I don't know if Dennis has these conversations with his friends or Chelsea's had these. We lie about our first experiences. We make it to be much bigger than how horrible it was mm-hmm. as young people, because we don't know what the hell we do. We get laughed at, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, so let me take it. Because we don't got these compliments, because there are billboards out there mm-hmm. telling young men. And Simaka has a billboard telling young men that they must have conscience, they must have two women. Because really men must bring stout and have two women. Now, you try to tell young man, hold on a little bit until you get your one woman and settle down and marry it. Mm-hmm. I can mind the children that might come. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that when you got a billboard that telling them, boys, no man. Don't worry without me, man. It's chimney, man. He ain't got no woman anymore. You know? Mm-hmm. It's confusing. It's confusing.
Yeah.
Right?
But
then, two kinds of messages. You know.
But then still, as volunteers, we still need to share the correct information mm-hmm. and just hope that we would get some people to follow us, right, take the information and use it the right way. Because, I mean, in our society today, we can't run from the issues that we're facing. We need to stand up and deal with them. And I'm realizing that a lot of persons really, really can't deal with the pressures, mm-hmm. especially the economic pressures. They really, really can't deal with it. And I think that those are some of the effects that are causing our fathers to back away and causing males in the whole to not stand up to a lot of their responsibilities.
I don't think you should blame,
And I'm not blaming here, but let's say you're married, Vidya, and you have your wife. You are going good all the time. And suddenly she starts working for $50,000 and your salary is only $30,000. And she wants to call the shots in the house and she wants to go and come when she like, but you're the husband. You're the man of the house.
Right. All of the information, I know we bring up these anecdotes, some of women earning more than men.
Mm-hmm.
All of the information we have in Guyana, all the research we have is that women are poorer than men. Women choose the low-paying jobs,
mm-hmm.
I mean, security guard and accounting, because they can stay out of jail. And but those are low-paying jobs.
But not
no, that. Let's be very careful how we put these scenarios about men absconding the responsibility. Mm-hmm. Right? The issue is not so much about a woman taking up and owning or whatever. The issue is that if you are going to have a child, it's your relationship with your child.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that if you're going to have a child and you make a child, you must look after each other. That is the men. Or get a vasectomy if you don't want. If you don't want to have responsibility for a child, get a vasectomy. Right?
But that's why we're promoting condoms.
No, but I'm just saying.
When everybody using them.
Right. But just a question you asked earlier about age. Chelsea, is how do you think, where do you think you have gotten in your, you're in high school now, what are the kinds of information you're getting about sex that makes sense to you, and what have been the sources of that information, you know, sources of sensible information regarding sex and, you know, sexuality and sexual health?
To me, social media plays a major role in not just myself but most of the young people. So what we see on Facebook, for instance, somebody might share a story with a girl that might have gotten pregnant, and we read the story and then we relate into it, like, well, she's my age group, that could have been my best friend who's a girl, or something of that sort. But to me, social media is what gets the message across to most young people. And that being said, about sex, when we see certain images being presented in the southern films that we look at, a normal film we look at will have some sex scene now, because that's the way of advertising. You need to use sex appeal to get people to buy your product or buy your movie. But when we see these things, young people, most of us don't get the message that, well, my body's not physically ready for sex. Most girls are not physically ready to carry a child at 16, yeah, I can say. I'm not emotionally ready. I don't have a job. I'm not financially ready. We don't think about all of these facts that are going to come out after. We just think, I saw that in a movie, I'm going to try that. Or I saw that on someone of these celebrities did it, so I want to do it too. So social media to me plays a major role in getting the message across to young people. And as whatever groups are, if you're an adult and you want to get a message across to most young people, because I can tell you, I can attest this, 4 in every 5 teenager has a Facebook account. Try me on that. Use social media, it does get...
Are they sharing videos of themselves having sex and so on? Or that's a stereotype that I have?
Oh, well,
a lot of these young people got a picture of naked skin picture and going around.
Trust me, it happens.
Right. So how do you come to that? How are we going to deal with that situation? Oh yeah, I think we need.
It's all in the mindset. I heard from someone.
Do you know people, I mean, who have done it themselves? I know a big man who put his naked skin picture up on a page. I mean,
no, that's nasty.
No, I'm just saying. There's only teenagers who do this.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I was shocked when I see this big man picture naked. You know, you take a picture naked with the mirror, you phone in the mirror, and naked. And it's there, and I'm like, you know, we're going. So, and I mean to ask him, but why are you doing that? You know, but I haven't gotten around to asking him. But I just wonder, I mean, do you have a sense of why people are doing that? Why do young people think?
Well, there's a quote: we are what we see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what I see on television, what I see on Facebook, what I see in the movies, that's what I'm going to be. That's who I'm going to be. And so we choose what we want to do. But the problem is, the majority of the things that we choose happen to be negative. And so we know as volunteers, as advocates, we have to try our best to find solutions to these problems, to the problems of the social media persons uploading in naked skin pictures, as you say. And also the there's the television that plays a vital role in this whole sex appeal.
So you're saying, so you're saying that for these, is it a case of publicity that people?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
Yeah, everybody wants the attention.
Everybody is showing, you know, everybody can see it, and everybody loves the attention.
Yeah.
And then you have to do something more serious than the previous person.
Right, that would all, I think that would also lead back to self-confidence and self-esteem, because if you're comfortable in your own skin, you wouldn't go out there looking for attention, you wouldn't go out there creating videos or uploading photos to social websites or any of these things. So it's, indeed, it's all about the individual, inside the individual of him or herself.
Just to add to Chelsea, somebody that I look up to in society, I heard him say once that if your friend sends you pornography, let's say via email, Facebook, WhatsApp, whatever social network, what he said, and really caused me to look at things differently. I'm not saying that I did what he said. What he said, look at it. But it's up to you if you want to save that in your phone for uses again. But look at it and see what they're looking at and what they're sending you, trying to get you to get caught up in. But it's up to you, and as Chelsea said, your mindset, your self esteem, your self confidence. So it's basically, it ties hand in hand. So yeah, young, it's out there. I my first time with a girl, I'm just saying, using myself as an example. Don't look at me differently, guys. Yeah, I video my first time, and I go and I send it to my best friend, and guys gossip. So. Yes, so they would send it to this other person. I might say, this is for me, you alone. Then you're going to say, well, Dennis said this was for me, he alone, but you gotta see this thing. So I bluetooth it to you. Then that's how this thing just spread across. Then the image gets across there that, well, Dennis is this kind of person. But you get what I'm saying? Social media has everything to do with it. And
right.
The way we present ourselves among our peers, just to get superiority or just to be the alpha in the crew, is really, that really plays a major role in how society gets you caught up in the social ills in general. Because not just teenage pregnancy you're going to turn to, it won't just lead to that.
So many.
Yes, we would want to take a few calls just to get what the public are saying. You know, I mean, the public would want to, the viewers, they would want to share some bit of information with us and probably even ask questions, and we'll be able to answer them in any way. So I'll go straight into, I'll just ask the crew to.
Hello. Hi, good night. I just tuned into your program, right?
Okay.
Let me turn my TV a little bit down. Yes. Very interesting that you set up young people can gather and, you know, in the public view in relation to human sexuality. I really don't know the topic, but what I think you are trying to get over is teenage pregnancy. One thing I didn't hear you mention so far with regards to teenage pregnancy is rape, right? That is not a cause also of teenage pregnancy. But the underlying thing about teenage pregnancy, it's a fact of poverty. But there are other root causes of teenage pregnancy. And all that I've heard that you are saying, I mean, relates to it, right? But take, for instance, our law says that the age of consent is 16.
Mm-hmm.
You're still a teen, but you cannot marry. until 18.
True.
Barbados has a law that a child under the age of 18 cannot visit a medical practitioner. They have to be accompanied by the parent, right?
Okay.
So, the point I'm getting at is that it is true that economic instability is one cause of teenage pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the root cause. There are other causes of teenage pregnancy, right? But what caught me when I turned on, right? One of the panelists said that he's 50-50, right? And if about abortion,
mm-hmm.
that if we don't know God's purpose for that child who would have been aborted,
mm-hmm.
right? But do you think that in a case of rape, God would have a child being the president? I don't believe so, right? Another thing, this is not a religious issue. This is an ethical issue.
Okay.
Teenage pregnancy, abortion is an ethical issue. So we gotta first take religion out of that, right?
Okay.
This is an ethical issue. This has nothing to do with religion, right? But I admire the panelists and the comments, the questions they have asked, and it's very educating, right? It's very informative, and I would encourage all of you to continue. This is very, very interesting, right? But we must look more to all these issues as ethical, and do not, right, bring in religion, abortion, euthanasia, teenage pregnancy. All are ethical issues, and it could either go from on different sides. Because, for instance, in the hinterland, right,
mm-hmm.
I would say teenage pregnancy is relative, right?
Yeah.
Because there are cultures,
mm-hmm.
there are cultures that you know, marry their children or children getting a child at 16. But that's the culture of the people. A person can't go into that culture now and say, what you're doing is wrong. And that has been happening for hundreds of years. So we got to be careful, right, of how we use the word teenage pregnancy. I think that is all I wanted to contribute. I would like to hear your comments on what I said. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming, sir. Yes,
right. Sorry, I just wanted to jump in on the last point. Just mm-hmm. a quick thing, right? Let us be very careful how we stigmatize hinterland communities. I think one person who was a missionary wrote a letter in the papers, a very interesting letter in the papers, where he said that all these myths and ideas that people have that Amerindian people are a culture that encourages teenage sexuality more than the coastland,
mm-hmm.
we know from our own evidence that's not so. The laws of Guyana, we've had people in our families who have been having children at 13, 14, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Early childhood, you know. So this idea that what the missionary had written is that it was people from the coastland who coerce and force people into situations
mm-hmm.
that when they go into the hinterland. So that's not that's not make assumptions about culture and so. I think the point about ethics and trying to divorce religion from
yeah.
it, but mm-hmm. you know, whether we like it or not, we are a religious society,
right. mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we have to. Of course, it is important that we share, but to reason things through. In the issue of rape and abortion, we know that is an issue which we were talking about. We did talk about it
yeah.
earlier. That the time is up, no? Right. Sorry, I'm not to have a closing comment. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
No. Don't take any more. Don't take any more.
I want to thank my panel very much and thank the caller for coming through. For any other added information you need, you can call GRPA on 225-6493 or 225-0738, and you'll be able to get counseling. You'll be able to get any information you need. about what GRP is doing. Thank you very much and have a good evening.